Well, today we're going to be continuing our studies in the book of Daniel. So if you do have a Bible, open it up at Daniel chapter 2. How do you react when you receive some sudden, unexpected bad news? It may be a letter from the doctor after you've had some recent tests. It could be that there's that team meeting at work when the boss says the company has got to make some redundancies. It may even be some family news. It could be a positive COVID-19 test. Nobody likes to receive unexpected bad news. But unfortunately, at some point in our lives, we will all have to face something, because we live in a fallen world where bad things happen, and one day something will catch up with us. Therefore, the important question is not how do you feel when bad news arrives, but how do you respond when the inevitable happens? For many folk, their worlds just fall apart. A change in lifestyle, a change in circumstances, just strips people of their security and sometimes even takes away their reason for living, leading them to panic or to get really depressed or a whole load of other negative emotions. But for the believer, when bad news arrives, we have the great reassurance that God is all-powerful and God is wise. And we know that he is in control of every situation and circumstance that we will face. We may, even if we don't always feel like it, or we know, even if we don't always feel like it, that God is able to carry us through the storm, and that he will even use the storm for our benefit. Which means when bad news arrives, Christians should be able to stay at least partially calm, and by doing this, we're able to tell the world the real difference that Jesus makes in people's lives. And this is the lesson that we're going to draw out from the first half of Daniel chapter 2. Just picture the scene. It's going to be fairly early in the morning. Daniel and his friends have just got up, they've said their prayers, and then Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, bursts in. They are to be arrested and executed that day because some of the king's wise men could not answer a question. That must have been a real shock. If you were in that situation, how would you respond? How does Daniel respond? Well, before we look at Daniel's response, let's go back to the start of the chapter and explain the backstory. It starts off with one of those dreams that makes you wake up instantly, and then you just can't get back to sleep. I'm sure we've all had that sort of dream occasionally. Apparently, if we're sleeping properly, we dream every night. It's just that we forget about our dreams. But every so often, one comes along and it really sticks. Now, in Babylon, there was a belief that the gods revealed the future through signs, portents, omens, and dreams. So any vivid dream must be a message about the future, some sort of message from the gods. Therefore, when Nebuchadnezzar had one of these dreams, the professional interpreters are summoned. These wise men, these astrologers, and they were experts at reading signs and predicting the future. Usually, the person who had the dream would share what they remembered with the professionals, who would then provide them with a meaning based upon what they read in their books, in their ancient texts. However, this time things are different. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar is starting to suspect that these guys are just making it all up, a bit like people who write horoscopes today, which means it's time for a test to see if they know what they're talking about, and it's quite a nasty test. He tells them, "If you are as wise as you say you are, tell me the dream and its meaning, and I will reward you. But if you can't, then you are guilty of telling the king's lies, and you will die." For these wise men, this does create a problem. They have never claimed to receive that information directly from the gods. Instead, they just interpret the signs. Only the gods could reveal the dream, and they have no way of asking them. Faced with this revelation, Nebuchadnezzar does what he does best: overreact. And in this case, it's an overreaction with a serious sense of overkill. Every wise man in the capital city of Babylon is to be executed, which is why Daniel has just been picked up by Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Well, I don't think any of us are going to find ourselves in this kind of situation. Though for some Christians living in different parts of the world today, sudden arrest or being grabbed by a mob is a death sentence. For us, we face a different sort of unexpected challenge. Something which will suddenly burst into our lives, which will be life-shattering, which will test the strength of our foundations. During this dreadful pandemic, many people have been receiving bad news. Furlough has been turned into redundancy, which leads to real financial difficulty. Restrictions have been placed upon people, which means some people are experiencing great loneliness, and for others, they have the pain of separated families. And then, of course, there's always the danger of catching the virus. So many of the things that people took for granted, which made life worth living in their eyes, has suddenly been turned off or taken away. How do people cope? Well, as we look around, it's quite clear that a lot of people are really struggling, which is why some people are going down the line of ignoring the advice and the restrictions, while for other people, they're following the advice and restrictions, but their mental health is really suffering. So many people today have got the same problem as these wise men who claim to understand the supernatural, but they had no contact with the divine. Which means that the time of testing revealed that their foundation was just sand. And the time of testing people are going through today is showing the same thing. When people live just for pleasure and just for themselves, they are living on a foundation of sand. And people are realizing that. People who live for personal pleasure, for their liberty, for their freedom. How do they cope now that they can't go on their holidays? How can they cope without going down to the Trafford Centre at the weekend or attending their favourite football team? Living for pleasure, for self, and doing things you enjoy is living on a foundation of sand, and the time of testing will wash it away. But for the Christian, even though we may struggle, it is different. When faced with genuine pain, with disease, with family or financial problems, it is possible for the Christian to be calm during the storm because of the foundation we have. The same foundation that Daniel knew that he had, the same foundation which every believer stands upon. You see, unlike the other wise men in Babylon, Daniel knew the true and living God. He had contact with the divine. He knew that the gods of these Babylonian wise men were just made up ideas or carved bits of wood. In contrast, Daniel knew the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who is both powerful and wise. And this means that Daniel was able to stay calm when the executioner's sword suddenly appears hanging over his head. Look at the wisdom he uses when he talks to Arioch. There's no record of him panicking or trying to say, "That's not fair, it's nothing to do with me." He does not try to defend himself. He does not try to escape. Instead, he asks a remarkably reasonable question. Why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Straight away, this tells us that Daniel recognizes the authority of this king. Even in this situation, he respects the one whom God has put in charge. And once the situation is explained to him, we clearly see God's hand of grace and mercy for the first time in this chapter. Daniel is able to go in and see the king. No doubt that was organized by Arioch. And is able to gain what the other Babylonian wise men had failed to get. Daniel is given time while they were expected to answer instantly. So we see God's grace and his hand at work there. And look at the confidence that Daniel has. He tells Nebuchadnezzar that he will be able to reveal and interpret the dream before God has given him the information. How can Daniel remain so calm? I think it's because he is able to see the big picture. When personal problems suddenly appear in our lives, we often focus upon how it affects us and we fail to see the big picture. So we can use COVID-19 and the restrictions as an example of this. The restrictions that have been placed on our lives right now are about reducing the spread of this virus so that the NHS does not get overwhelmed. So that we're in a situation where everyone who does develop the disease and needs medical care is able to access it. But in order for that to be the case, it means that people have got to stay at home and stay away from others. And that means then that the people who are worst affected will get the care that they need. But instead of understanding this, what do people think? They think, I'm stuck inside now and I'm bored. They can't do this to me, I've got rights. And actually, because of this reason or that reason or something else, the rules don't apply to me, so I can have people into my home and I can go and meet with others. There's no focus on the good being done by the period of isolation. People are just thinking about how it affects them personally. They're not seeing the big picture. Daniel sees the big picture. He knows there is a lot more at stake here than his life and the lives of his friends. He knows that God is working behind the scenes to create a situation where the power and wisdom of the true and living God will be shown to be far greater than the Babylonian gods. God has given Nebuchadnezzar this dream to tell him something about the future and something about the futility of the gods he worships. Now, one of the things that's guaranteed to get people really angry is when you show them that something that they really believe in or care about is a complete fraud and a waste of time. Usually, we're quite unaware of our own blind spots, so when someone shines a spotlight on them, it hurts. Nebuchadnezzar is genuinely confused and worried about his dream. He wants to know what it means, so he's turned to his dream experts, who turned out to be frauds. No wonder he's angry and saying that all these people should be put to death. The true and living God has revealed that Nebuchadnezzar's foundations are just sand, which has made him so, this powerful man, so angry. But in his wrath, Daniel appears suddenly with the promise of the answer he is looking for. And much to everyone's surprise, there is a stay of execution. Here we see the grace of God. Daniel is now on death row instead of being marched to the chopping block. He has remained calm even though a sudden and unexpected storm has arrived in his life. What can he do now? Along with his friends, it's time for some serious prayer that God, in his mercy, will give Daniel the information that he needs. When we recognize what the big picture is in Daniel's situation, then we know that God will provide Daniel with the missing information. God is starting to move to teach the Babylonians that the only reason they were able to conquer Jerusalem was because he allowed it. God is starting to teach these proud and arrogant men that he is in charge and that he knows and cares for his people. After exposing the deficiencies of the followers of the Babylonian gods, it is now time to reveal the supremacy of the true and living God. So God answers Daniel's prayer in a vision. And when the answer suddenly arrives, a lot of people would have headed straight up to the palace to share the good news with the king. But not Daniel. He takes this opportunity to praise and worship the true and living God. And this short psalm is a celebration of the power and wisdom of God, which reminds us of some important truths about who God is and what he is like. We're reminded that God is in control of the natural world, that God sustains all of his creation, keeping the planets spinning so that the seasons come and go. We are also reminded that he sets up and removes kings, which in modern terms reminds us that God is the one who decides who our leaders will be, which is an important point to remember whenever there is an election and your side hasn't won. He gives wisdom and knowledge to people. God is the one who allows humans to explore and understand his creation. He is also the one who allows people to be born into situations where they can learn things. God is the all-knowing one who reveals mysteries. He is the God of Daniel's ancestors, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the one who has revealed to Daniel the mystery of the king's dream, and in so doing has ensured that his name will be exalted, and Daniel, his friends, and the other wise men of Babylon will be spared a nasty death. As Christians today, we have even more reason to be calm in the face of the storm than Daniel did, because we have a far greater idea of the big picture. Since the days of Nebuchadnezzar, God has revealed a lot more about what he is like and what he is going to do. So we can have more reasons to be confident. We know now that all things work for good for those who believe. That's our favourite verse from Romans 8:28. This wonderful promise reminds us that God's sovereign hand is upon our lives, guiding and directing us. When bad things happen, and they will happen, we have to remember that their end goal is our good. And what is that good? Well, according to the next verse, Romans 8:29, it is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is so that we become just like Jesus. This is the process of ongoing or progressive sanctification. Of course, we know that this process will not be completed until we see Jesus face to face. But in this life, even today, the Holy Spirit is working to make us more like Jesus. And the hand of God is over our lives, guiding, guarding, and controlling every situation. Which means when the sudden, unexpected problem appears, then God has got a purpose for that situation. Sometimes he uses things to help us to rely upon him more. Poor health robs us of our self-dependency, resulting in having to learn to trust Christ even more. But sometimes events happen for the same reason that these events happened to Daniel. God is using us to send a message to the world. When we are wise like Daniel, and Daniel was wise because he understood that true wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord, then just like Daniel, the way that we are able to remain calm when disaster strikes and our world and our life falls apart, it sends a powerful message to the people around us about the difference that Jesus makes in someone's life. A lot of people, they think that religion is just words. But when difficulty and disaster strikes, we can show the strength of our faith through our actions. When we go through terminal illness, job loss, family disaster, and 101 other things, things which expose the foundation of sand that other people's lives are built on, those same situations will reveal that our foundation is the rock of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So we have a calm trust in God. We have a certainty of heaven. We have the promise of a resurrection body and our faith that he will provide and carry us through every situation. This is a wonderful witness to the true and living God. And it shows that the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ can weather any storm. And this is a witness we really do need to be sharing. Our society is one of the most religiously diverse cultures that has ever existed. Today, every religion is considered true by most people, and they're simply seen as different perspectives of the truth, which means people around us engage in Eastern practices like yoga, and then they'll take a little bit of the, another religion, then something else, and they add it all together to create their own unique religion, which is true for them. Other people don't worship the traditional religions, but instead they put their faith in their football team, in their health, in their wealth, in their academic ability, in their holidays, in their general well-being. And while the sun is shining and there are no clouds in the sky, all appears to be well. But when the storm clouds arrive and the waters rise and the foundation is being washed away, the Christian next door who is going through the same storm is able to stand on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and have peace. And today, all of us are facing a storm. COVID-19 is changing our world forever. It has revealed what people really live for and how empty life can be when those idols are taken away. As Christians, we too must struggle through this storm, and the pain is real, but we are never alone. God is always with us, and this should allow us to remain calm, patient. We know that storms pass, and we pray that the Lord will use our example as a platform that reaches out to share the gospel message with the lost culture all around us. Amen.